Lord Jesus, thank you that you didn't shun the virgin's womb, and you don't shun the meager house that we crude but chosen stones assemble for you here by your hand. Lord, continue to shine your light into our darkness until all is light. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, Jesus said it in Mark 9, the one that wants to be first of all has got to become the last of all and the servant of all. And we saw yesterday how God began showing that to us in the very headwaters of creation, in being a servant leader to our forebears who were naked and ashamed, covering them. He had them covered. Another slaughter we see today in God's covenant with Abram. This had a bloody start, and it could only be consummated by innocent blood. It's another installment in the scarlet thread that runs from Genesis all the way through the biblical record right to the revelation of John. The scarlet thread, the story of blood atoning. Now, at first blush, when you hear this story and you hear what God tells Abram to bring to this party, a heifer, a goat, a ram, some feathered flying things, it sounds more like a shopping list for a witch doctor than it sounds like something that God would want to do, doesn't it? That sounds exotic to us from where we come from. I mean, that's, we don't have any context for that. But Abram knew exactly what God was doing, because the whole concept of cutting a covenant was dominant throughout that part of the world. When people made a contract, when two kings made a treaty, when two leaders made a pact, made a contract, they hewed animals in half, bloody, separated them, and they passed between. And what they were saying with that, I'm sure you've read about it, you've studied it, it's saying, if I don't keep my end of this deal, may it happen to me and all of my livestock just like we've cut these animals apart. I mean, that's a serious deal. And Abram knew that's what he had to know, that that's what God was doing. God was saying, okay, I know I've declared your faith, you faithful. You're still doubting. That happens. Faithful people doubt, okay? That you can get okay with that. But let's get over this doubting and questioning, and let's go ahead and cut the contract now. Let's get this thing official and taken care of where you can bank on it forever and ever. Well, I bet you can relate to what happened to Abram next. God has said, let's go. Go get this stuff. Let's do it. Abram obeys, and then he begins to wait. Where's God? Where's the one who said, let's get this taken care of? Why is he not taking care of it? Our God is pretty much never late, but he's very seldom early. He waited, he waited. Can you imagine the frustration of this man? Waiting and God not showing up. I've been there, I bet you have. Then vultures come down and begin to like want to devour the sacrifices. Have you ever had to beat the vultures away from your sacrifice? Look, I mean, imagine this man, this patriarch, flailing his arms, trying to get these vultures away from the sacrifice. And then he goes into a deep, terror-filled sleep. Now, the Lord blesses his beloved with sleep, but I've had some sleep in my life that I'd just as soon not have had. Horrors beyond anything you can describe when you wake up. You want to wake up and you can't. When you wake up, you're in a cold sweat, your heart is racing, your blood pressure is through the roof. That's what Abram was going through. And then God came down, God showed up. And he manifested himself in two ways. First, a smoking pot. A pot of smoke passes through these pieces. What do you think was coming into Abram's mind? The pillar of cloud that guided them through the wilderness? The smoke on Sinai? What goes through your mind when you hear a smoke cloud? The smoke on Sinai, the glory cloud in 1 Kings, the glory of God that's palpable, that's real, that you can see. And then also there was fire, a burning torch. What would come through your mind? The pillar of fire that led them through the wilderness? The burning bush, the fire that comes from heaven to consume an acceptable sacrifice? Our God is a consuming fire. But we don't have to fear that in the wrong sense of the word. We should fear him. He's dangerous. He's not safe, but he's good. The burning bush was ablaze, but it wasn't destroyed. And he'll come to set us ablaze and yet not destroy all in us that he's redeeming. The fascinating thing about this is that God didn't wait for Abram to walk through the pieces with him. God went through alone. He didn't ask Abram to do anything except to show up and witness it. God didn't say, Abram, walk through here, so if you don't keep your end of the deal, what happened to these animals is going to happen to you. No. God said, I'll pass through. And if I don't keep my end of this deal, may it be to me and to the cattle on 1,000 hills that I own, as it is to these animals. Again, God, just like he had Adam and Eve covered in the garden, he's got Abram covered. He's got the deal covered. He's got you and me covered. Covered by his wings. Covered by his grace. He's anticipating our needs. He's anticipating our doubts. He's providing all that we need. Once again, even in this early going of the biblical narrative, God is showing himself to be the servant of all. Serving within the Godhead, serving all that he has made, proving to be the servant of all.